Okay, let's pray. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Right? We are soon coming to the end of 21-9. You all know about that, right? A few more days and end of 21-9. And we tend to look back at what has happened in 21-9. I'm sure there are life-changing moments. But if we look back in 70 years ago, how many of you are more than 70 years old? Wow, a lot of hands. Right? We will be astounded by the journey we've been through in the 21st century. 9/11, the terrorist attack in the Twin Towers shook the whole world. In the 80s, when one student walked courageously across Tiananmen Square in Beijing and stood alone against a battery of China tanks against communism. Television Singapore, do you heard about it? Do you know about that? What is Television Singapore? Started running colored test transmission, right, in April 1974. How many were born 1974? Yeah, a lot of hands too, right? Yeah. And by June, about 1,000 color TV sets had made their way home, 1,000 family members. Or in the 1960s, Singapore became an independent republic on 9th August 1965. It changed the course of Singapore history. Or in the 1950s, when Disneyland was opened. How many of you went to Disneyland before? Life-changing experience here, yeah, I'm sure. To have these were some of the journeys that changed human history, but the greatest journey of all, it was Christmas journey, a journey from heaven to Bethlehem. We know the story well enough, and in fact, we can recite Mary and Joseph, blah blah blah, you know, angels and shepherds, you know, we know the story full well. But today I'm going to share with you not just an earthly version of Christmas story, but a heavenly version. Are you ready? Wow. All right. It comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, beautifully read by Crystal. That is the God's eye view of Christmas, describing the most amazing journey ever taken. So amazing that there are thousands of people over last two millennials who have simply said they cannot believe it, right? It is too good to be true. It was the Christmas journey, the journey from heaven to earth. So it's a journey from heaven to earth, right? It says in the beginning was the Word. The Word is a nickname for the Son of God, Jesus Christ. It is the Greek term called Logos. Everyone say Logos. It refers to the Son of God. Word live forever in heaven. To be accurate, in fact, we need to say that the Son of God, as the Word, designed heaven. He created it, He built it. John chapter 1, verse 3 says that through Him, all things were made, including heaven. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. So heaven was His home, a beautiful place, a perfect place. The most wonderful place. But the Christmas journey brought him from there, the beautiful place, a perfect place, to right here. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. He moved into the world. He was born to one woman, to one stable, to one village, to one country, right here on earth. It's hard to imagine the contrast between heaven and earth. Several years ago, I was visiting Manila in the Philippines and was taken, of all places, to the Manila garbage dump and saw something I have never seen before. On the dump, the Manila, there are tens of thousands of people who made their homes there. Small shelters constructed out of the things other people throw away. Children were sent out early in the morning to find food where people throw their garbage. so they can have family meals. People have been born, grown up there in the garbage dump. They have their families, their children, their garbage to eat, live their whole life there, died there, and everything. It is an astonishing thing. From a distance, before you even reach to the garbage dump, you can even smell the stench. What caught my attention is this. Foreigners. I saw foreigners living in the garbage dump. And they are missionaries, Christians, who have chosen to leave their country and to communicate the Lord's love to each and every one of them. This is amazing to me. People who leave what they have to go on and live in the garbage dump. Amazing. Amazing experience. I couldn't help but tears were rolling down my eyes. And this kind of depict what it means, you know, when Jesus come down from heaven to earth. The greatest story in human history. The Son of God made that journey. He knew what was going on. He knew what happened in our world. He sacrificed to come down from heaven to earth. He made that journey on a mission to save human race. For the earth and the humanity he had created had gone terribly wrong. Sin had turned against God and polluted our earth. Once was a paradise, now become a place like the garbage dump. I think if God had a consultant who was a modern business person, probably the advice to Jesus was to cut losses, you know, remake a new planet and have new sets of people, or maybe not have people, probably it's a bad idea and things like that. But God will not do so, because God so loved the world. Amen. Amen. It was a journey, a grand journey, but not only a journey from heaven to earth, but also from eternity to time. For this heavenly telling of the Christmas story says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Jesus was with God in the beginning. When was it? Think right back. 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, 10,000 years, trillion years ago, or billion, trillion years ago. No matter how far we can think of and imagine, the beginning was before that. In the beginning, the Word was. He already lived and exists because He never began. And then He started this journey from eternity to time. He came to our calendars, to our clock, to our way of thinking, organizing schedule. He counted birthdays and spoke of the days of the week and lived in terms of bedtime and get up time and work days and days off. And He must have felt so terribly close in. This Son of God, who had forever ago lived in all of the expanse of untimed eternity, He must have felt caged in with the clock. Imagine Mary and Joseph said, Jesus, it's late already, you need to sleep. He don't even need to sleep, because He is God. Amen. When He came into time, He fit into our schedule. He fit into our schedule. He became part of our history. He came, in fact, at exact right time. Even those who are not believers will say that it's the best time for the gospel of Jesus Christ to be disseminated across the Western world and beyond. Pax Romana, the Roman peace, had brought nations under the rule of a single emperor. People who could travel on the Roman roads, there was a common language. But even those outside the Roman Empire saw a star that moved across the sky from the east. And they came to that place. It was the very best time for the Son to come. But He came not only from eternity to time. He came, in a sense, to reset the clock of time. Once our calendars were calculated, the reign of kings and queens, for example, a year could be called 10th year of the reign of a certain emperor, emperor, but that is no longer true. I just added that, yeah. Doesn't he look like a king, right? No, yeah. Today, I did that. Yeah. Today, calendars of the world are set in terms of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Christians, all religious, everybody must set their calendars and clocks by the coming of the Son of God from eternity to time. BC and AD, in the modern calendar, we will label all years with BC before Christ, or AD Anno Domini, or in the year of the Lord, or refer specifically to the birth of Jesus Christ. And I suspect this, what is true on earth is equally true in heaven. While heaven may be in the past, have no calendar, clocks, we think of them, even heaven must be reset in terms of the coming of the Son from heaven to earth, from eternity to time. Our calendars and clocks are now synchronized so that heaven is connected to earth, and earth forever connected to heaven. Why is this so? Our time has changed heaven and eternity by the coming of the Son. There will be the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are living in between times. How exciting is that? Amen. Wow, silence is deafening. But perhaps the least understood part of the Christmas journey is this. Was the journey from spirit to body. John chapter 1 verse 14 says, the Word became flesh. That is obviously to say that the Son of God, nicknamed the Word, had no flesh. All right, was not previously human. That eternal Son of God was a spirit. You couldn't see Him. You couldn't touch Him. He's invisible. Invisible just like God the Father and the Holy Spirit still are today. But being invisible does not make anyone or anything less real. And if any generation knows that, surely this generation knows it. Because here in this prayer hall, there's radiation. There are radio signals. There are television signals. There are all kinds of things we know to be not only real, but powerful. That's why I hope my PowerPoint is powerful. Even though we cannot physically touch them and cannot see them, the eternal Son of God was invisible. Invisible as a spirit. He didn't have a body. And really didn't have a name, at least not in the sense we think of a name. He may be called Son or simply God. But when he embarked on this amazing Christmas journey, he gained both body and name. And he was given the name Jesus. Up until the time, there was not a name. He was given the name that was not only least unusual, it is the Hebrew word for Savior. And there were hundreds, if not thousands, of Jewish boys and men who had that name, Jesus. It was so common, just like Hambali's name. Even till this day, right? Let me prove it to you. Gabriel Fernando de Jesus, commonly known as Gabriel Jesus. It's a Brazilian professional footballer who plays as a forward for Premier League club, Manchester City. Everyone say boo, boo. Who's that? Crucify him. And he's a Brazilian in the Brazilian national team. If I were to be in his team, I would say, Jesus, pass me the ball. Whoa, cool, man, right. If you wanted to get lost and in Bethlehem, in Nazareth, or Jerusalem, Jesus was a good name to have because There were lots of people who named themselves Jesus, or parents naming their kids Jesus. It wasn't the name that made him Jesus special. Jesus made the name special. He gained not only a name, but far more important, he gained a body he had never had before. The Son of God became limited by space. He became human, not at Christmas, but at conception 9 months earlier. To understand that this eternal, powerful Son of God left heaven. To understand that this eternal, powerful Son of God left heaven and became contained in the microscopic human embryo. Wow, look. Can I say that again? Because the one I Google one, usually I don't have such bombastic English. Became contained in the microscopic human embryo. He had not yet formed his eyes, his hands, his brains. God was contained. God who is described in John chapter 1 as the light, and yet for 9 months was in total darkness. And when he was finally born on Christmas Day, he looked like any other human being, 6 or maybe 7 pounds in weight, unable to feed himself, with eyes slow to focus, hands not quite able to grasp, certainly unable to speak, wearing diapers. Okay, maybe not diapers, maybe something else. Totally dependent upon a recently married couple for every necessity of life. And he is the Son of God. What an incredible Christmas journey that he became human, a body, for us, in order to reach us, in order to communicate to us in our language, in our way, in order to save us from our sin and death. This eternal Son of God came from being spirit and having a body. Now, as astounding as it may sound, be even more astounded that this was not a temporary change. It is not that he took a body for 33 years, and that's it. Never think that the body was only for the one generation of Bethlehem Manger to Calvary Cross. This was permanent. God became human forever and ever and ever. There was no going back. The time that was conceived inside of Mary is the same body that was born on Christmas Day. The same body that grew up in Egypt and in Nazareth. In the same body that was crucified on the cross. The same body that was laid in the grave. The same body that rose to life on Easter Sunday morning. The same body that ascended up into heaven is the same body that the Bible predicts that Jesus promised will come again to earth again to save us. It is the same body he will wear forever and ever. Amen. Please do not miss this wonder and amazement of the Christmas truth, that God became human, that spirit became flesh. Not only that, he came to us, to you and me, but that he became one of us forever too. What an amazing journey. But there's one more piece of this Christmas journey from God's perspective. It is the amazing reality that deity became humanity. And that is the most amazing part of the story. John chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. He was God, fully God, 100% God. Everything that God is, all powerful, all presence, anywhere, everywhere, at the same time, all knowing, not a secret withheld from Him. God, holy, powerful, God of very God, and he became man just like you and I. Think about that. The Word became flesh. Jesus took on flesh and made his dwelling among us so that with the name Jesus, the Son of God became fully human. He gained a human body, a human organs, human appearance, but even more so, he felt human emotions, disappointments, delights, and all the feelings we have. Today, I do not know what are you feeling today, but God understands. Jesus understands. Jesus can empathize with all of us. He had human thought structures, the way our brain structure thoughts, as fully human as any of us here. But here was the miracle. When he became human, he was no less a God. 100% God, 100% human at the same time. He is unique. He is absolutely one of a kind. And he did this so that he could be our Savior. In the simplest form of mathematical calculation, we could figure out that one perfect man could perhaps pay for the sin atoned on the cross for just one other sinful person, but not for all of us. Unless, of course, somehow there could be a unique combination of that human's humanity and God's infinity. He, Jesus, was 100% human, 100% divine. Add to the mathematical formula a multiplication factor of infinity so that when he died, when Jesus died on the cross, he could die and pay for all of human sin. He was the perfect match to our eternal needs. When we look at the cross, when we look at Jesus, we look at God 100%. We look at human 100%. Today, we have over 100 human beings here. All, and I believe all, are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And all have a message of the gospel. And all of us can share this gospel that God is 100% God, 100% human. And as we walk out of this place, don't ever think that I'm just a human being. The power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in you. And that is the very power that God has given to us because we have received this power from Him. When we speak to Jesus, we speak to God. When we experience Him to the fullest. When we see Him, we see God. And yet, He is one of us, fully human. God Almighty, fully divine. I hope I'm speaking to lovers of Jesus this morning. I hope, I pray that today, anything else, it will ignite a spark within our hearts of hearts and say, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you that I can live this abundant life because of this Christmas journey. The Christmas story is a story of journeys. It is the journey of Mary and Joseph from Nazareth to Bethlehem. It is the journey of the angels from heaven to earth. It is the journey of the shepherds from hills and to the village of Bethlehem. But the greatest journey of all is the journey of the Son of God from heaven to earth. From eternity to time, from spirit to body, from deity to humanity. It is God meeting us where we are. He came to us. He came to save us from our sins. He continues on with that business. Well, he can do it by himself, but he has called his children to be part of this gospel mission so that we will experience the love of God, not just for us alone, but through us. Maybe, just maybe some of us are waiting for the call of God to go into missions field or to do missions, local missions in our schools, in our workplace. Maybe you have the habit of having a New Year resolution and have broken many New Year resolution, and your resolution is to make new resolution every year. Whatever it is, today, I pray we will make a commitment to journey with God, because God is ready to journey with you. Let's close in prayer. Hallelujah. I've tweaked quite a fair bit in my sermon notes, and I sense that today, this morning, God is calling us, each and every one of us, to journey with Him. And this journey with Him is so that He may open the eyes of our hearts to see what He's doing, not just around us, but in our lives. There's a term for this. It's called discipleship, where the follower follows the master, where Christians are called Christians because they are little Christ. They light up the world, even in the place of darkness. We still can light it up because Jesus is the light. And Jesus has been the light for many years. For some of us, maybe 1 year, 2 years, 10 years, 20 years. For me, 33 years. Yeah, hard to believe. I know I look young. 33 years. Or some of us, 40, 50 years. Whatever it is, if you put that number, that age, superimposed it into the time eternity. Right? When we receive Christ, we have eternal life. That's really nothing. That's really, really nothing. If you want to make your life count for the level of your soul, this is the time, as we sing the song, God so loved the world, will you respond? Not by coming up here, because I'm sure there's not much space here. You stand up and you sing that song and say, Lord, I want this life that Lord you've given to me count for you. Count for eternity. Whatever I do, even my ups or even my downs, count it for you, so that even my downs, let it be a all glory be to you. So as we sing that song, don't just stand because someone beside you stand. You make your own commitment, your own declaration. And the Holy Spirit within you is saying, come on. Come on, child. Come on, son. Come on, daughter. Come on, princess, prince. Stand. And I will go with you. And then we all stand as we are committed, and allow the Lord to just minister to us. Let not 21:9 end without God, but with God, entering into 2020, that God will give us a fresh vision. Fresh vision. Hallelujah.